You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday to you. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season, all during the longest month of the year, at least for me, the month of August. We have Kings coverage, topics, conversation, all of that for you to get you through, get you into September, which means the start of NBA training camps. And then, of course, October is preseason and the tip off of the 2019-2020 NBA season. We are just officially under 2 months away from the tip-off of the NBA season, and with today, we are officially 2 months away from the tip-off of the Kings season, as they will be in Phoenix to take on the Suns. We only have to wait 2 more months, people. Let's get through it together here on the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter, and working in Sacramento sports radio, of course, being around this fan base, being around this team most of my life, I understand the local perspective. I understand that this is, for the most part, a one-sport town, at least a one-major sport town, and I understand the passion that this fan base has, and sometimes how they can appreciate, or we as a Sacramento community as a whole can appreciate the trials and tribulations that this Kings squad has gone through and the light at the end of the tunnel that is coming more than outside perspectives. And I know a lot of the national media perspective drives fans the wrong way or makes them feel frustrated or upset. Sometimes they feel like the Kings are being misrepresented around the world or around the United States based off of their very loose understanding of what is happening in Sacramento. And quite honestly, a lot of that comes from the fact that the Kings have not been good for 13 years, so there hasn't really been much to pay attention to. That narrative somewhat switched last season as the Kings got off to their really hot start, and suddenly people started taking notice. We have a lot of people around the United States who are excited about the prospect of what De'Aaron Fox can be, and if he is the star, to lead the Kings out of the promised land. And now that Marvin Bagley's been plugged into that core, Buddy Hield has turned into one of the best shooters in the NBA, people are really starting to take notice more and more. So I thought on today's podcast, though, I would focus on what everybody outside is saying, but also some stuff what some Kings are saying. And I'm not sure if you saw, but De'Aaron Fox has recently done a couple of interviews. One was with The Athletic's Jason Jones that you've heard here on the Locked On Kings podcast before. And then another one was with a new media company called 137 PM. And he had some interesting things to say in that article. I'm going to be sharing that with you. That's going to lead into some audio that I have for you as On the Jump, which is a phenomenal NBA national talk show on ESPN. I always encourage people to go and watch that and check that out. It's very entertaining, very fun. Probably, in my opinion, the best NBA TV talk show out there. The Jump discussed De'Aaron Fox and him staying in Sacramento, and I have the audio from that to play for you today. And then finally, ESPN did their projections of the Western Conference standings and win totals for each team and where the Kings are going to end up. Now, I know many of you have probably already read this or seen this and might have been disappointed by it. I don't want to give away more than that, but we're going to discuss that here towards the end of the podcast. So a lot of outside perspective today, not so much my opinion, not so much your opinion, but it's always interesting to hear and learn from what other people are saying about the Kings, even if we disagree with them, even if we think they're wrong or maybe uninformed in certain areas. You can always learn something about yourself or about your team or about your city and community by what other people have said. So that's going to be the focus on today's episode, and we'll start with De'Aaron Fox's comments. Now, De'Aaron Fox is becoming a more and more popular figure around the NBA and around the United States, really, around the basketball world. He has been one of the biggest spokespersons for Sacramento, the community that Sacramento is. Remember, last offseason around this time, he released a video in the Players Tribune that talked about Sacramento and talked about this organization, this community, how supportive they've been of the Kings, and how he and his teammates were going to fight to make sure they were properly represented and that he was going to give his all to the city and the community that drafted him. And he started building that rapport with Sacramento immediately, saying it was one of the places where he wanted to go. He felt the most love. He was excited to be a top pick and to be drafted to Sacramento, which obviously is not nearly as enticing as the big markets like the Lakers, the LA market, New York, Chicago, things like that. But he's always been excited to be here in Sacramento, and that's instantly made him a fan favorite along with his talent. And he continued to be a fantastic spokesperson for Sacramento in an article and an interview that he did with 137 PM. Now, this is a new media company. They're getting started, and they got some great content on there that I encourage you to check out when you can. But read this article. It's a really long-form article, and it's about De'Aaron Fox and his management group and his agent and things like that. And it gives a good backstory on De'Aaron Fox and him starting as a 14-year-old point guard with playing against high school juniors and seniors, and him really tearing it up there, and his journey to the NBA, why he picked his management group, a good behind-the-scenes look at De'Aaron Fox's life as a basketball player and his journey as a basketball player. And the only thing I want to pull from this article to discuss here is this quote that he said, and I'm sure many of you have seen it. It's been taken everywhere, including in the national media. De'Aaron Fox said this, quote, "I don't crave to be in a big market. After last season, there was a buzz in Sacramento. Everyone in Sacramento is a Kings fan. If we start making the playoffs or if we become a championship contender, the entire city is going to go nuts. That's the difference between a big market and a small one." So that quote right there, of course, made a lot of Kings fans happy. It also made a lot of fans, NBA fans outside of Sacramento, roll their eyes a little bit, as you're going to hear some conversation discussion on The Jump here in just a little bit. But I know that was an encouraging statement from a Kings fan perspective, knowing that this is the future star of this team, the future centerpiece. Really, he's already the centerpiece now, that Kings fans are hoping will spend his entire career, if not most of his career, in Sacramento and lead the Kings and Sacramento to a championship that has long eluded them. So very great article, very great quote there. If you haven't heard that, that should excite you. That should definitely fire you up. And rather than give my opinion on the entire thing, I'll be playing the audio from The Jump. I'll share my response to some of the things that they talk about. But I want to hear your thoughts on that quote. Do you believe him? Do you think this is a very early negotiation tactic by him? Or do you honestly believe, based off of what you know of De'Aaron Fox and his character, that he prefers the small market and he wants to spend his entire career or a large portion of his career here, and he's not tempted to leave for an LA like other stars in the NBA are? You can let me know on Twitter at @MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Completely unrelated to that, but I wanted to get this in there. Jason Jones of The Athletic, you've heard him on the Locked On Kings podcast before. Fantastic guy, is a longtime beat writer for the Kings, used to be with the Sacramento Bee. He had a conversation with De'Aaron Fox, and he was talking about De'Aaron Fox, his offseason, him trying to put on weight. And when De'Aaron came into the league, he was 6'2", 169.6 pounds, and we know that his frame and that low weight, or him weighing less, allows for the speed that he has, but it's important for him, especially on the defensive end, to put on some muscle weight so that he can body and battle both inside and outside against some of the bigger guards in the league. So Jason Jones was asking De'Aaron Fox about that, how difficult it is for him to put on that weight. He's now up to 183 pounds, and this is what Fox said in this interview. He said, quote, "I try to get 4,000 to 5,000 calories in a day because I burn through it so fast. It's hard, man. It's hard." He also says, "For me, the goal is for this year to play at 180 pounds and continue to grow, continue to grow. You don't want to come in at 195, so for us, it's just a process because I don't want to put on so much weight and take away my athleticism and my speed." So a little bit of a background of what De'Aaron Fox is going through with his weight gaining, and I think it's a good target weight, and he has the right ideas in mind. Of course, he's working with trainers, nutritionists, things like that to get him at the optimal weight and make sure that he is handling himself the right way. But I thought that calorie quote was interesting. 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day, and because his metabolism is as fast as it is, that's the food and the fuel that he needs to put into his system to be able to play and still gain weight and put on pounds. So some good insight there about your point guard. We're going to take A quick break, and then we'll hear what some of the experts from The Jump have to say about this entire situation with De'Aaron Fox and wanting to stay in Sacramento with a small market, so stay tuned for that. Also, I know many of you are football fans as well as NBA and basketball fans, and with football season right around the corner, maybe you are a fan of fantasy football. And if you are, check out the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast that we have going on here on the Locked On Podcast Network. They provide phenomenal coverage and insight. They will give you the edge in your fantasy football leagues. I know this weekend, next weekend, it's really draft time, and that's my favorite time of the fantasy football season, and a time that can obviously make or break your entire season and will control your fate for the next few months. So get as much information as you can and get as much of an edge as you can over your friends, family, or competitors in general by checking out and listening to the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Continuing on with the What Are They Saying About the Sacramento Kings episode here on the Locked On Kings podcast, and we transition to about a 2.5 minute clip from ESPN's The Jump discussing De'Aaron Fox's quote that I read to you earlier from 1:37 p.m. about him wanting to stay in a small market and not being interested, as of right now at least, in playing for a big market. And The Jump, they had some interesting things to say about the entire situation. So why don't you take a listen here on the Locked On Kings podcast.
Do you buy what Fox is selling here, Tim?
Well, look, does he want to stay in Sacramento long-term if they take steps and they become a perennial playoff team? Sure, that makes sense. And I do think, though, there is something to being the only show in town. Arco Arena used to be an absolute madhouse when the Kings were a perennial playoff team and a legitimate contender. And I think you see the crowds in Oklahoma City over the last decade, Utah. I think Portland has some of that vibe. There is a different feel. You know, Dirk Nowitzki once kind of compared it to a college atmosphere when it's that one show in town. Those do tend to be the rowdiest crowds and the best atmospheres.
What year is this for De'Aaron Fox? Is this his third?
Going into his third year.
Yeah. We'll see what he says in year 6, year 7.
Exactly.
I can pull you a list and give you about 25 Kevin Durant quotes that sound almost exactly like that. And I'm not saying that Kevin Durant didn't mean him at the time, and De'Aaron Fox most likely means exactly what he's saying. But players feel differently when things play out, when they see what happens, whether it's with the coaching staff, teammates of theirs, things that are occurring around the league. They become friends with somebody else in the league. And the way that they feel now is not necessarily the way that they feel in the future, and that shouldn't be held against them. You know, like I said, you can look at Kevin Durant quotes where he says the same sort of things about Oklahoma City, and that shouldn't be necessarily held against him because people change, their motivations change,
well,
circumstances.
He did withdraw from Team USA to focus on the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'll believe that.
And the Kings being a perennial playoff team is a pretty big if, considering they do have the longest postseason drought in the league. A nice young core, but not necessarily the most stable franchise.
Some players mean it, though. Damian Lillard has said it, he has stood by it, and he has doubled down on it with Portland.
All right, let me say a couple things about this. Number one, before I even say it, I think I really like De'Aaron Fox as a person, and I like his game, and I like his attitude. Mm-hmm. One, this is the time where you want to pledge your allegiance to your team because they control you. And not only that, he's a year away from a contract extension, and if I were him, I'd be thinking about being a max player.
Absolutely.
So you want to tell the whole fan base
smart
and your
business.
Team that you're included. I'm not saying that that's what he's doing here,
but it's smart business.
The second thing I will say is, talking to some Kings players last year, they have this nice little core of young guys. Bogdan Bogdanovic, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley. They really believe that group is going to come together and change the future of the Kings. And I think that one of the things that they want to do is they want to devote themselves together, and they want to sort of grow as a group. So I do believe that there is some sincerity in what he's saying, but it's interesting to point out.
A very fair assessment of the entire situation. And honestly, if you're a Kings fan, even if you are a little bitter towards the national media talking about Sacramento and the Kings as a whole, I think you have to be relatively pleased and interested with what they had to say. You got some appreciation for the Kings and Sacramento being a one sports town and how players recognize that it's sometimes a college atmosphere. You heard them discussing how Dirk Nowitzki used to say back in the heyday in Arco Arena that it was a college atmosphere and how rowdy it got. And we know from from experience now that the Golden 1 Center can get just as loud and rowdy, although we haven't gotten to experience playoffs there yet. Hopefully that will change this year. But some of the criticisms, maybe not necessarily criticisms, but some of the discussion of De'Aaron Fox meaning that now, but maybe that doesn't hold true 6-7 years from now. I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, honestly, bringing up Kevin Durant's quotes, it's accurate and it's a fair statement and it's something fair to a fair comparison. De'Aaron Fox right now might be extremely pleased with his situation, but 6 years from now, depending upon teammate changes, friendships that he may make elsewhere in the league, coaching staff issues or changes, fluctuation, or maybe the team just underperforms and cannot get to that championship level. A lot can change between now and the time where De'Aaron Fox would be able to test free agency as an unrestricted free agent. So it's a fair point, a fair assessment. Right now, though, if you're a Kings fan, you can't expect anything more than what De'Aaron has already said and the commitment that he's already made to this community and to this Kings organization. And then what Windhorst says there towards the end, discussing the fact that he's saying the right things with the reality that the Kings are in control of him contractually for the next few years of his career. He's still on his rookie contract. After that, it's going to go into negotiations where he will be a restricted free agent if they offer him the qualifying offer. I don't think it's going to get there at all. Like they pointed out, De'Aaron Fox is going to be a max player, is looking at being a max player, and is saying the right things so that he will get that max contract from the Sacramento Kings, which, barring catastrophic injury or any kind of character meltdown, which we know is not going to happen, the Kings are going to be maxing De'Aaron Fox as soon as they can or when it makes sense for them to do so. We know they're also interested in locking down Buddy Hield to a longer-term contract. That's going to be coming probably here at some point in the next 12 months. Who knows exactly when, but we do know negotiations and interest is there as of today, as of this very moment. So I liked that discussion there on The Jump. I thought it was fair from both sides, and I want to hear your feedback on it at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Some fair assessments there on The Jump, and it's good to see discussion about De'Aaron Fox and about the Kings in a positive light. However, it hasn't all been sunshine and rainbows for ESPN talking about your Sacramento Kings this offseason. They just recently released their projections for the Western Conference standings and win totals for all the teams in the NBA. And they're not as optimistic about the Kings as we are here in Sacramento, certainly as I am. When we come back, I will share with you where they think the Kings will finish in the Western Conference, what their win total will be, and we'll discuss and break that down and dive into all of that next. I've already made my declaration on Twitter, on KHDK, and here on the Locked On Kings podcast that this, in my opinion, will be the year that the Kings break their playoff drought. I should say next year, but this season will be the season that the Kings break their playoff drought. I believe they will finish as either an 8th or 7th seed, dethroning the San Antonio Spurs and maybe even competing with the Warriors or the Blazers for that 7th spot. But ESPN and a lot of people disagree with me. ESPN put out their projections, and, you know, there's a bad to this, and there's also a good, maybe a consolation prize element of this article and these projections that they put out. But let's start with the bad. And if you haven't heard this already, prepare to be maybe a little frustrated or scared or disappointed with what ESPN had to say. Now, it's important to preface this by saying ESPN is not low on the Kings or is not making fun of the Kings by any means. They were more focusing on the fact that the West is just so dominant and so difficult. They didn't see how the Kings, even with their exciting young core, could improve upon last season with how much better the West has gotten. Here's the reality. They have the Kings finishing in 12th in the West. Only three teams beneath them. Those three teams were the Suns, the Grizzlies, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. They had the San Antonio Spurs finishing in 8th, and the three teams in 9th, 10th, and 11th ahead of the Kings were the Mavericks, the Pelicans, and the Timberwolves. Now, I can understand if you're feeling a little disrespected by that. I certainly felt that maybe frustration or that bitterness when I first read that and saw those projections, thinking, really, the New Orleans Pelicans, I get they have Zion Williamson, and I get there's a massive hype train, and they have some good young players as well as a solid veteran or two, and I've been just as high on the offseason that they've had as anyone else has been. But to say that group that hasn't, for the most part, played a second together and is still getting over losing a Hall of Famer in Anthony Davis, to say that they're going to make that significant of a leap and overtake a Kings team that made that jump and made those steps forward as early as just last season, to say that they're going to be above or be better than that, that's a little unfair. Now, I understand the Dallas Mavericks perspective. Why? Because they have two bona fide stars in Luka Doncic and in Kristaps Porzingis. But we don't know how good Kristaps Porzingis is going to be. And also, Dallas has zero depth other than those two players. You heard Jason Ross not too long ago on one of the Wild West podcast episodes discuss how he's not high on the Mavericks whatsoever because of that lack of depth. So clearly, ESPN thinks that those two stars are going to be enough to carry the Mavericks and what else is left of that roster higher than what this young core is going to do for the Sacramento Kings. The Minnesota Timberwolves, though, to me is insulting. I get they have Karl Anthony Towns, and I understand that they have Andrew Wiggins, but I think they're doing these projections without the reality that I think is going to take place, and that's that Andrew Wiggins and this Minnesota Timberwolves team, the way they look now today is not going to be how they look by the end of the season and after the trade deadline. I don't think this Timberwolves team is going to be good. They're very underwhelming, and even when they were at their best, they were in shambles. I think the Kings are easily better than them, even though Karl Anthony Towns is the best player with both of those rosters combined. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, in my opinion, are not going to have that core. They're not going to have Andrew Wiggins post-trade deadline, and that's going to have an effect on how their season goes. I think the Kings absolutely are going to finish higher than the Minnesota Timberwolves are, so I disagree with that projection. They have the Kings overall finishing with 36 wins, which is obviously three less than the 39-win total that they finished with last season. So they think that because of the strength of the Western Conference, that the Kings are going to get worse, at least in the win column, than they were last year. However, later on in the article, they started discussing about teams that were underrated and overrated, and some said that they thought the Kings were being underrated. In their own projections, they were saying the Kings were being underrated. And they were aware of the fact that they do have a promising and exciting young core that still has a lot to prove, but could be the surprise team that makes their way into the playoff picture and upsets all these projections. So at least they are aware of the upside of this Kings team and willing to recognize that even though they're selling them low at the moment, that can change relatively quickly depending upon De'Aaron Fox's growth, potentially as an all-star, Buddy Hield's continued hot shooting, how Marvin Bagley does in his second year now as a full-time starter. A lot of stuff can change. So I was encouraged at least by that, but I don't think the Kings are going to be worse than the Timberwolves. I don't think the Kings are going to be worse than the New Orleans Pelicans. Maybe the Dallas Mavericks, it might be an interesting fight. But I think the Kings are going to be a playoff team. Certainly not 12th. I think the worst they're going to finish is 10th. And even that feels low, at least in my gut, as of right now. Let me know what you think about anything that we discussed on today's podcast. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKGTK. Email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com at any time. And please take advantage of that. Have great discussions with you over the weekend. Coming on Monday on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, which is hosted by Josh Lloyd, I joined him for an episode as we previewed the Sacramento Kings from a fantasy perspective and just an overall Kings perspective, so you can tune in and hear that. That's on his podcast, and then, of course, we'll be back for more Locked On Kings coverage next week. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for another fantastic week. Have yourself a great weekend. You've been listening to the Locked On Kings Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.